You may be seated.
You may be seated. It's good to see you all here this morning. Merry Christmas from Gospel Life Church. Thank you for coming and being with us. Many of you are like, okay, get down. We want to see the kids. The kids are going to be at the end today, so they're probably a little nervous as they anticipate and wait for me to hurry up and get done as well. But I always love this service. I always look forward to this service every year. I love seeing the kids get up here. I love where we get to hear the result of all the hard work that the kids have done. They're excited, and they're really excited for you to be here. But before the kids put on the show, I do want to take a few moments, if I can, which I can because here I am, and reflect on the reason for the season, as it were, as many bumper stickers put it. It's funny because as a pastor, you think about, what are you going to say about Christmas? Obviously, you're going to talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what passage are you going to talk about and remind people? And for me, I always seem to come back to the same passage. It's the passage I love to go to when I think about the Christmas season. And it's a passage that's really well known from the book of Isaiah. Most people, actually, if we're honest, don't really know much about the book of Isaiah. Even many professing Christians know very little about a really large book in the Bible. But you do know these verses. You know these verses because you hear them every Christmas. Inevitably, you're going to hear at some point Handel's Messiah, and if you're in a concert, at some point you're going to stand, thanks to King George II, during that concert, and you're going to hear the verses that Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7 proclaim that he wrote many, many years ago. It said, and you heard it this morning as Keith read it, and you'll see on the screen, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It's proper, it's right to think about these verses around Christmas time, because at Christmas time we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the very person that Isaiah is referring to here. The child that he talks about was Jesus, who came and was born, that we celebrate at Christmas time. And that verse, as I said, is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, when Isaiah wrote it, he was looking forward. He was looking forward to a day when a child would come. A person would come who would redeem his people. And this is what he says about him. But you fast forward a few years from when Isaiah wrote this, and that child was born. That child was born, and he was given the name Jesus. And he was born to a person. He was born to in a miraculous birth to a virgin named Mary. Now, of course, imagine yourself. Sometimes we kind of know the story, but it's different if you imagine you lived in that time and lived through that story. Could you imagine that someone is pregnant and is a virgin? Could you imagine what her betrothed would have thought is going on here, Joseph? And the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that as Joseph's thinking about all this thing and he's weighing all that's going to take place, and the fact that here is, you know, in our modern day terms, kind of like a fiance is pregnant, and what am I going to do, and how are we going to face the shame of everyone around us, and then going through that the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, that an angel visited and told Joseph about what was going on. It says in Matthew 1, 20 through 21, "But as he," that's Joseph, "was considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son." And notice the end part there. "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name that would be given to this child was Jesus. Why? Because that name had meaning. Jesus, you will call him because, or for, he will save his people from their sins. You know what the word Jesus means? You know what the name Jesus means? It means deliverer. It means Savior. There was a purpose to his name. It had meaning. He would save his people. So he was to be called Jesus. You remember back in high school you had to read Romeo and Juliet? No? You're like, no, I tried to forget it. I hated that class. British literature was the worst. Juliet might have asked Romeo, what's in a name, trying to say, what does it matter what I'm called? But for ancient people, for many things even today, names had meaning. You would name something because of the meaning that you wanted to assign it. Names were chosen for a reason. Now, today, we still choose names of our kids for reasons. Most of the time, it's because, you know, there's a family member that we're trying to name them after, or we're trying to be unique, so we're going to spell it differently so no one else spells it like I do, or we're trying to, you know, whatever it is. We think of all these different names for a reason. But back then, when they would name something, they would name it for a reason, because to give meaning behind it, to give insights behind what they were naming and tell us about the character of what they were naming. And Jesus was given that name because he would save. Well, in the passage that I talked about at the beginning, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when he talked about the coming of this child, when we talked about the one that we celebrate the birth of at Christmas time, he also gave him a name. He gave him a few names, actually, in that passage. He said that the child who would be born would be called, and you know it, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And each of these names tell us about something about that child. Each of these names give us insight about why we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because of this time this morning, I'm going to practice the Baptist version of the five B's. I will be brief, brother, be brief. So I won't be long, and we're not going to go through all the names. But I do want to talk about one of those names. I do want to just hit one, and that's the first one. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, again, you've seen Handel's Messiah. You've heard Handel's Messiah. You might think that's two names because they put a pause there. Wonderful Counselor. But it's actually one name. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful is telling us about the type of counselor that this one would be. He's a counselor that fills with wonder. Why? Why is Jesus a counselor who fills with wonder, or should fill us with wonder? Now, if you've never read the Bible, I'd encourage you sometime just to read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find it in your Bible there. And it tells you, and you can look at what Jesus said. And many people who aren't even Christians will look at the teachings of Jesus, and they'll say, wow, that is amazing what Jesus taught. He's a wonderful counselor. But for this morning, I just want to highlight one really quickly example why Jesus is a wonderful counselor, because Jesus tells us something that every single person in this world needs. I don't know everyone in this room, but we do have something in common. We all need eternal life. I do know that one day we will all face death. So therefore, we need life after death. And Jesus actually tells us, as a wonderful counselor, how to find eternal life. Our world today doesn't really like to think about that. We pretend like we're gonna live forever, or we do everything in our world, in our life, to try to live forever. But the reality is, deep down, we know that there's gotta be something more than just this life. Don't you feel that? Don't you feel it? Why? I mean, I have a dog. I love my dog, right? I have a Scottish Terrier. They're kind of like cats, only dogs. They're easy to take care of. They're not going to bite your furniture. So if you're thinking about getting a dog, just going to tell you, like, that thing we can leave home all day, he's not going to do anything stupid. But my dog, I've never caught my dog sitting there going like, I wonder what life is going to be like after I die. Or, I wonder why I exist. He's different from you and I. We ask those questions. We ask the questions, what next? The Bible actually tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that God placed eternity in our hearts, so every single one of us will ask that question. Every single one of us will realize there's got to be more than what we see here. And Jesus tells us the answer to that question of how we know we can be sure that we will be part of eternal life after our death. He says in John chapter 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. There it is. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. It's the one who hears Jesus' words as this wonderful counselor and believes in the Lord that does not face judgment. Judgment for what? Well, judgment for our rebellion. You see, God made this world. God made the whole universe. God made where we are, including you and I. And think about it. When you make something for a purpose. And if it doesn't fit that purpose, you actually make a judgment on that thing. Like if I'm making something to fit into this corner and it doesn't work, I make a judgment about it. If it's not fitting my purpose, now for me, I'd break it and try again. If I don't fit what I was made for, we make judgment on things. And God made us for a purpose. And when we do not fit that purpose, we rebel against him and live as if he's not God, but I'm God. When we do that, we are actually going against the purpose that God made us. And when we do that, rightly so, we should receive judgment from the one who made us, just like we do with things that we make. We don't live in submission to his way. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And it tells us that the wages, the punishment, the payment for sin is death. Living for ourselves, our own ways, regardless of the fact that God made us. So we've failed to live up for God's purpose that God made us, to bring him glory, to submit to him. And so we've been placed, as Jesus pointed out in that verse behind me, in a place of judgment. But the wonderful counselor tells us how he escaped that judgment by believing on Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is through Jesus. This child's birth that we celebrate every Christmas season, he's the one that we go to find life. He is the one that we go to find the true way. He's the one that we go to find truth. You see, Jesus, when he was born, actually was born, and even the way the Bible talks about it, was born to die. It's interesting for someone that we spend a lot of time thinking about the birth. Really, the Bible's trying to get us to think, okay, the birth leads to something really significant, his death, as opposed to many people who are famous in history. We don't focus on their death, do we? But for Jesus, we do, because he came to die. And it tells us in Mark 10, verse 45, that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And then he tells us to give his life a ransom for many, to give his life a ransom. His death on the cross when he was crucified was in the placement of those who rightly deserve judgment. That's why if we believe on him, we don't face the judgment, because he takes the judgment for all those who would believe on him. He's the wonderful counselor because he's the one who declared to us eternal life. So I just challenge you this morning as we think about his birth and we get excited as our kids sing about his birth. Well, have you listened to what he said? Is it more than just snow, which doesn't exist anymore in Western PA until end of January? Is it more than just happy feelings? As you think about Christmas, do you really think about who came, the wonderful counselor, and look to Christ for true life that you can have in this world? Whoever hears my word, he says, and believes. Are you responding by saying, Lord, you know what? You did make me, and I have rebelled, and yes, I deserve judgment, so forgive me of that, and may I find true joy and life in Christ who died for me. I'd encourage you this morning to take that seriously this time of year. If you want to learn more about Jesus, I'm more than happy. I'm in the back right there at the end of the service. I want to meet you. I want to say hi. But if you really have, you know, a desire and God spoke to you this morning, please talk to me. We have people up front. You'll see at the end there's prayer partners. If you need to be prayed with or you have anything you want to pray about, be honest. The Christmas season's also a hard season for many. Come on up. They'll pray with you. They'd be happy to do that. Our greatest joy here at Gospel Life Church is to know that each one who walks in this room, how they can have eternal life. And not only know it, but truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So excited you're here today. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll welcome the kids up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the celebration of Christmas, reminding us of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone here does not understand who you are, that they would go to the wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I pray as these kids come up, you'd direct their path, and that they would sing well, and we'd just have a great time of celebrating together. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we live in light of the truth of the word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to have the kids come on up.